The Heaven Field, a novel by I.G. Hume, read by the author. Episode 21, Survivors.
"That's funny," muttered Grace. "Why aren't they opening up?" She banged on the door with her fist. Thomas looked nervously at the enemy soldier they had found at the doorway. The man had slumped down onto one of the low benches set against the wall, his head in his hands. The chamber was in darkness, illuminated only by the pitifully small glow of the lights around their visors. Steam swirled and billowed up into the lofty heights.
"Hey, open up!"
yelled Grace again, banging on the door.
"Jesus Christ, what are you playing at? Come on, open up!"
She waved her hands in front of one of the cameras mounted into the wall, then cursed and went back to banging on the door.
"It's no use," mumbled Thomas. "The door, it's 18 inches thick. They'll never hear you."
"Well, any better ideas?" cursed Grace. They had been in the chamber for 5 minutes now. The darkness was deathly silent. The familiar throb of the array had ceased as soon as they had arrived back. Grace fumbled with her helmet, and with a hissing of air she lifted it off her head, gasping in relief.
"Oh, that's better. I can breathe again. Don't worry, Thomas. It doesn't sound like the array is on. We'll get plenty of notice if it starts up again."
Thomas struggled awkwardly with the locking bolt release mechanism, and finally, with a little help from Grace, got his helmet off and panted in the warm air. After the stuffy, claustrophobic air of his suit, the greenhouse feel of the chamber was heavenly.
"What about you?"
muttered Grace towards the man seated on the bench, but he didn't acknowledge them. Grace shrugged to Thomas and turned her attention back to the door.
"Now then, what can we do here?"
She ran her hand around the thin line which marked the edge of the door, but it was sealed and immovable, with no handle or release on the inside.
"What's that noise?" whispered Thomas.
Grace stopped and listened with her head on one side.
"Shit,"
she cursed and stepped back from the door.
"Put your helmet back on,"
she said urgently. Thomas looked around at her in confusion.
"Quick! Those bloody idiots are starting the array up again!"
"Hello? Is there anybody there?"
called Susan nervously. The alarms had all stopped now, and there was an eerie silence over the whole facility. She had wandered aimlessly around the array hall for a while, and then the spell had finally seemed to have broken on her. She had woken up from her madness and now felt tired and foolish. Now she was just looking for somebody to give herself up to. It was all over. She couldn't get to Thomas and had been stupid to try. She had seemingly walked forever up long flights of steps overlooking the vast array structure. The whole place was deserted. She eventually came to a glass door which led into a large room crammed with computer terminals and workstations.
"Hello,"
she muttered again.
"Thomas,"
she gasped. There, opposite a huge window overlooking the array, and taking up a good portion of the wall, was a monitor screen. It appeared to be showing security camera footage, which she instantly recognised as the inside of the array chamber. In the centre of the small room stood Thomas, wearing a bulky orange suit, his helmet on the floor beside him. Dr. Palmer strode frenetically about. As Susan watched, Grace came up close to the camera, waving her arms and shouting, though there was no sound with the picture. Susan stared in horror and looked out through the window down to the doorway of the chamber 100 feet below.
"I'll just be a minute. The array's online. It should be..."
Jane Honeyman stopped dead in her tracks. She had appeared from one of the computer bays off the main room. She looked up at Susan in horror, then glanced guiltily at the monitor screen. Susan stood unmoving, unsure how to react.
"Hi,"
said Jane, recovering her composure and taking a step towards Susan. There was a workstation between them, and Susan shuffled nervously away.
"I'm Jane. Are you lost? You really shouldn't be here. There's a fire. You need to evacuate as quickly as possible."
She leant forward slowly and punched a button on the panel in front of her. The monitor screen, showing Grace desperately waving for help, flickered for an instant, then went black.
"Just some old footage," muttered Jane, moving slowly around the desk towards Susan.
The far door opposite burst open, and a figure ran wildly through, hastily sealing it behind him.
Jane, we've got to get going. They'll be here any..."
The man skidded to a halt, and his face fell as he recognised Susan.
Jim,
she whispered in disbelief. James Eden cautiously approached them. He still wore his security guard's uniform, and Susan looked down in rising panic at his hand on the holstered gun at his side.
What the hell do they think they're playing at? Cursed Grace, snapping her helmet back into place.
They could all hear the rising whine now, and the deep, subterranean throb of the array powering up. Thomas craned his neck to look up into the darkness of the chamber. High up in the distance, he fancied that he glimpsed occasional flashes of electricity, arcing across from one tunnel to the other that made up the vast conduit system.
Hey, over here, you bloody idiots!
Yelled Grace, jumping up and down, and waving her arms in front of the security camera.
What's wrong with them? She cursed.
It's not fair, croaked Thomas to himself, looking around in panic.
He could feel the vibrations of the system through the floor.
We've got to get out!
He banged hopelessly on the door, joining in with Grace's cries for help.
Do you know this girl?
Asked Jane Honeyman in surprise.
Susan, you shouldn't be here. Look, there's a fire. Jane, come on, we've got to go now.
He tugged at Jane's arm, but she shrugged him off and went over to the desk nearby.
What's happening, James?
Asked Susan, panic-stricken. She took a nervous step backwards.
What are you doing?
There's a fire, said Eden, slowly edging towards her. Come on, we need to get out of here.
Just keep away from me,
she stuttered, bumping against the glass of the huge window overlooking the array. She had nowhere left to go.
Hey, Sue, it's okay, he protested. You know me, I'm your friend. Come on. She's got Thomas and Grace trapped in the chamber,
she blurted out desperately.
I saw it on the monitor. We've got to help them. She's mad,
hissed Jane feverishly in reply to James's look of suspicion.
What's going on? He demanded.
Through the thick glass of the window, Susan could hear the rising howl of the array. Jane was pacing agitatedly back and forth now, with Eden in between her and Susan, who fidgeted anxiously.
Jane! Shouted Eden. They came back just as the alarms were about to go off,
began Jane hysterically. Her hands darted up to her mouth and away again. She was pale and her skin glistened with sweat.
I had no choice. If I'd have let them out, we'd have never got anybody to evacuate.
So let them out now, said James nervously.
We can't,
croaked Jane, her eyes downcast.
What do you mean? Just let them out and we can get going.
We can't,
screamed Jane, holding her head in her hands.
I've set the array systems to overload. I had to destroy the controls. The safety protocols won't allow us to open the door to the chamber. But what about them? Jane, you're going to kill them,
he gasped in disbelief. Susan watched the scene, not daring to move.
Shut up!
Screamed Jane at the top of her voice.
We have no choice. It's not my fault.
No way, said James grimly. I won't be a part of this.
He placed his hand threateningly on the holster of his gun.
Now you're going to let them out of there, and we're going to get the fuck out of this place.
He turned to Susan and said calmly,
I'm sorry, Sue. Look, you get going. Get help for Thomas and...
James!
Yelled Susan in warning. Eden span around, but he wasn't fast enough. Jane Honeyman slammed the heavy base of one of the desk lamps into the side of his head. There was a sickening thud, and he staggered and slumped to the ground, blood already flowing from the wound. Susan was frozen in panic, as Jane made a desperate grab for Eden's gun. He tried to fend her off, but his movements were dazed and uncoordinated. Susan forced her unwilling legs to work, and she took a step towards the two grappling figures. Before she could take another, Jane tore the gun free from Eden's grasp with a manic grin of triumph. She fumbled a second with the unfamiliar weapon, then pointed it directly at Susan's face. They were barely 6 feet apart. She pulled the trigger, and Susan cried out, stumbling backwards and losing her footing. The gun remained silent, and Jane cursed, tugging at the safety catch. Susan crawled away from her in blind terror, crashing into the wall directly below the huge window. A deafening explosion of sound as the gun went off, and the glass above her shattered into a million pieces, showering Susan with fragments and splinters. She screamed and put her hands around her head to protect herself, curling into a ball. Jane cursed and took aim again. She had a sickly, feverish pallor, and her eyes were wide with madness. James tried to grab her arm, but he moved weakly as the blood flowed down the side of his face. She pushed him away, but he resisted.
"God damn it, you stupid fool," she cursed. "Let me go."
"You can't kill her," mumbled Eden drunkenly.
"James," sobbed Susan,
pushing back against the wall in fear.
"Shut up,"
screamed Jane, crazy with fear.
"Shut up."
She raised the gun past Eden and fired wildly. Susan screamed as a shot burst into the wall next to her head. James cried out and grabbed Jane again, grappling with her for the gun.
"Run!"
he screamed back at Susan. As if it were a direct order to her instincts, she scrambled to her feet, darting in blind panic through the glass door she had originally come in through, back onto the staircase. A shot rang out behind her, but she was too terrified to look back as she stumbled desperately down the endless flights of stairs. The drop on her right was a dizzying 100 feet to the floor of the array hall below. A single handrail was all that protected her. Down and down she ran, the stairs zigzagging their way to the chamber below. She stumbled near the foot of a flight and fell to her knees on a small landing, gasping frantically for breath. Over the growing roar of the accelerator array, she distinctly heard the sound of footsteps following.
"What are we going to do?"
shouted Thomas frantically. He was sat on the low bench set into the curved wall, still eyeing the silent soldier opposite him with suspicion. Grace didn't answer. She was lost in thought, standing at the sealed door of the chamber. She rhythmically tapped the glass of her visor with her finger. The noise of the array was almost unbearable now, a rising crescendo of whining, pulsing and throbbing.
"Something's wrong," she muttered quietly to herself. "Very wrong."
She took a deep breath and seemed to come to a decision.
"We're going to have to try and stop the system," she yelled to Thomas above the din. "I think the array's malfunctioned. By the sounds of it, the dampers are offline. It's just going to wind itself up until it shakes itself apart. We need to try and initiate the emergency shutdown."
Thomas looked at her blankly in panic and confusion. He was exhausted from his time in the field and could barely think straight.
"Pass me a screwdriver," yelled Grace.
Thomas thought he must have misheard. He got up and walked over to her.
"A screwdriver,"
she shouted again. Thomas shrugged weakly.
"I haven't got," he began,
before Grace struck him sharply on the chest plate of his suit. Thomas looked in amazement as a compartment popped open, unveiling a compact toolkit. Grace grinned and grabbed a small screwdriver.
I didn't realise,
he stuttered, peering down at his suit. Grace meanwhile had turned her attention to a section of the wall near to the door. Now Thomas looked, he made out a small panel about 2 feet square, which Grace was hastily attempting to open. After a few curses, she ripped the panel unceremoniously from the wall, revealing a tangle of wires and cables. She stood scrutinising them deep in thought, then, with a sudden motion, grabbed a seemingly arbitrary handful of wires and pulled. There was a brief spark, and an alarm was dimly heard above the din.
"Bingo!"
she shouted, and stood back from the wall. Where Thomas had only taken in featureless steel and concrete walls, to his surprise a series of slats suddenly opened with a clunk, forming a thin ladder up the wall and into the darkness beyond. Grace quickly put her foot upon the first rung. Thomas grabbed her arm, holding her back.
"What are you doing?"
he yelled.
"You're only supposed to go up there when the array's offline. If I can get up there and close some of the fire barriers by hand in the conduit systems, well, it might trip the emergency abort."
"But Grace," shouted Thomas,
"you can't go up there while the accelerator is on. You'll be killed."
"We haven't got much chance if I don't,"
she smiled grimly, shrugging off his hand.
"If we're lucky, some of the conduits won't have kicked in yet. If I'm quick, I might have a chance."
She started up the precarious maintenance ladder once more.
"Keep an eye on him,"
she shouted, nodding back down to the prisoner, who still hadn't moved from his seat.
"Be careful,"
croaked Thomas, as he watched her forlornly as she disappeared into the darkness above. Occasionally he would see her in the flashes of energy arcing across the vast tunnel system, which branched off into the dizzying heights above.
"Just come on out. I'm not going to hurt you."
Susan pressed herself farther back into the corner. She could hear Jane Honeyman's slow footsteps approaching, echoing on the tiled floor.
"You have my word," Jane called again. "I promise I won't hurt you."
She walked warily down the corridor, muttering and cursing nervously to herself. Susan tried not to breathe. She was crammed into a dark alcove, hidden behind a row of environment suits which hung from a rail. After escaping from the control room, Susan had run blindly down the stairs towards the array hall. At every landing, she had come upon a sealed fire door, blocking her escape and forcing her ever downwards to the floor of the array. She had tried beating on some of these doors and crying for help, but to no avail, and always she heard Jane's footsteps from above, following her down. When she had finally reached the floor of the vast array hall, Susan had made, panic-stricken, for the corridor she had come from originally, only to find it too sealed. Everywhere was closed off. She was trapped. She ran across the open space to the closed door of the chamber. Desperately, she had tried to turn the heavy wheel on the front of the door, but it stuck fast. A large red light glowed a warning above her. The sound of the array was deafening now. The whine of turbines and generators echoed off the concrete and steel. She banged hopelessly on the door with her fists.
"Thomas!"
she yelled at the top of her voice, but her cries were buried beneath the chaos around her. She glanced back at the stairs and cried out with dismay. Jane, her hair wild and tangled, and blood running down her face from a scratch on her cheek, had almost reached the bottom of the steps. She stared at Susan with manic eyes. The pistol clenched in her small white hand looked sickeningly out of place. She stopped and pointed the gun at Susan, who cried out again in fear and dashed away from the array chamber, across the open space of the hall, her hands held protectively above her head. Her lungs felt as if they would burst as she headed for the only open door available, the entrance to the suit rooms. Every moment as she ran, she expected to hear a shot and feel a bullet in her back, but no sound rose above the howl of the machinery. She stumbled madly down the short corridor and out into the maze of locker rooms, shower rooms, and various equipment storage areas. She ran through the white-tiled suit room, benches and lockers down the centre, and rows of empty suits hanging like ominous sentries watching her. Beyond was a short tunnel, with a fire exit sign glowing above it. She dashed down it with a nervous feeling of hope in her chest. At the end of the tunnel was another heavy door, sealed and immovable. Susan collapsed against it, sobbing in despair. She banged her fist uselessly against the cold metal. Behind her, a crash, barely audible over the noise, snapped her back into action. She stumbled back down the corridor towards the suit room, terrified to go on, yet more afraid to stay. Back out in the harsh light of the suit room, Susan looked around desperately for any other means of escape. The long, low room was divided down its length by several rows of high lockers, a low bench running beneath them. At intervals along the rows of lockers were alcoves where empty suits hung, and along the opposite wall was more equipment, and also the entrances to the shower rooms. Susan crept down an aisle between two rows of tall lockers. Jumping nervously, she brushed the empty, gloved arm of a suit. It swayed on its hook, then with a loud crash it fell to the floor. To her horror, Susan heard the sound of a footstep on the other side of the locker. She flung herself against an open storage cupboard, trying to squeeze inside, but she couldn't fit. She desperately looked around in panic as the footsteps approached her. She spied an alcove across the aisle, filled with hanging suits and boots. She just managed to scramble to the back before Jane rounded the corner of the aisle. Susan peered out from behind a suit in terror. She could hear Jane's footsteps getting nearer. Looking in horror at the white floor tiles opposite where she had attempted to squeeze into the cupboard, she saw a vivid smear of red blood. She surveyed her arms aghast. They were covered in tiny cuts and scratches from the broken glass of the control room window. The footsteps came nearer.
"I know you're there," hissed Jane. "I promise, I won't hurt you."
Susan tried to push herself even farther back into the corner, but there was nowhere left to go. Her body shook and tears filled up in her eyes. She felt sure she would be sick at any moment.
"Just come out. I'm not going to hurt you."
Jane tried to sound light and friendly, but there was hysteria in her voice, and the words came out laden with mania. Susan held her breath in terror, wanting desperately to shut her eyes, but unable to keep from staring out into the aisle at the livid smear of blood on the white tiles. To her terror, between the folds of the suit that hid her, she saw Jane walk into view. She could only see her feet and the lower half of her legs as she passed in front of the crack, but Susan saw her stop just next to the smear of blood.
"You have my word,"
came Jane's voice, terrifyingly close. Susan saw Jane's feet turn towards her hiding place.
I promise, I won't hurt you.
There was malice behind her words, and between her appeals to Susan, she muttered unintelligibly to herself.
Come out,
she hissed, and Susan watched in terror as the suit which concealed her was slowly drawn aside. Thomas anxiously paced the chamber, staring impotently up into the darkness for any sign of Grace. The deafening roar of the array continued to gain intensity, and he didn't know how much he could stand before he would pass out.
Grace!
He yelled into the shadows again, but his voice was lost in the maelstrom. He slumped down on the bench, his hands up to his head in despair. He couldn't let himself believe that Grace was dead.
Turn on your earpiece,
came a faint voice from across the chamber. Thomas looked up in surprise. He'd forgotten all about the silent prisoner. He stared blankly for a second, then frantically fumbled with the radio controls on the side of his helmet.
Grace! Grace! Can you hear me?
He shouted into his microphone, but the only reply was a harsh burst of static.
Keep trying, muttered the soldier morosely. It may just be interference from the array.
Thomas kept up his desperate calls as the chaos intensified around him. Jane's hand trembled as she slowly pulled aside the empty suit where it hung, pointing the heavy gun into the darkness beyond. She clenched her teeth and tried to calm her racing mind. She would have to do this. Kill the girl. She had no choice. No one could know that she had set the array to destroy itself with Grace and Thomas inside. It was too late now. There was no turning back. A shadow burst out of the darkness towards her, a face. And without even thinking, the gun in her hand exploded with a deafening retort. She cried out as the object hit her on the chin, knocking her off balance. As she gathered her senses and stumbled to her feet, she realized that the face which had startled her was her own, reflected in the glass of the helmet which Susan had thrown at her. By the time she got to her feet, she was screaming in fury as she saw Susan disappearing around the corner of the aisle, heading back towards the array hall. Susan ran for her life. The crack of the gun right next to her ear had deafened her, and dizzily she charged back towards the array hall, crashing off walls and lockers as she ran. She burst out into the immeasurable heights of the hall, glancing back fearfully for any signs of pursuit. Dimly, she heard a faint voice ahead of her. She turned and shrieked in terror, falling flat on her face. She glanced behind, only to see Jane rounding the corner, pointing her gun straight towards her. A volley of shots rang out. And Susan stared, unbelieving, as Jane was spun around like a rag doll as the bullets struck her body. She tried to take a step forwards, but her legs buckled beneath her, and she crashed to the floor. Susan looked around again, sobbing uncontrollably. The line of soldiers ahead of her lowered their weapons and ran forward. Several of them cautiously approached Jane's unmoving form, their guns still trained on her. A tall figure offered his hand to Susan, but she flinched away in terror.
It's okay, Miss Morant, it's okay,
came a gentle voice from behind the soldier. She looked up to see Commander James approaching her. He appeared shocked and pale-faced, but he had a grim expression of determination.
Get a medic in here, he shouted behind him.
He knelt down and looked calmly into Susan's eyes.
Do you think you can walk?
He asked.
We must evacuate immediately.
No, no, muttered Susan feverishly.
Don't worry. Your friend James Eden is alive, said the commander.
It was he who called for help.
He told us about her.
He looked over in disbelief to where the soldiers were dragging Jane's body towards the exits.
No, gasped Susan weakly. Thomas, Grace, they're trapped in the chamber.
Commander James turned ashen.
You're sure of this?
He gasped. Susan nodded.
Grayson, he barked into a radio. Is there no way we can shut it down?
Susan heard a faint and crackly reply.
It's no good. She's locked down all the control points. We don't have enough time. We're pulling back now. Just get out of there. You've only got a few minutes at most to reach a safe distance. Commander James cursed quietly to himself and held his head in his hands. "Sir?" inquired an armed soldier next to him. James closed his eyes and nodded forlornly.
"Okay, everybody out," shouted the soldier.
Two men lifted Susan to her feet and pulled her towards the exit.
"No, wait,"
she cried desperately, but she was too weak to resist them.
"Thomas,"
she croaked in horror. Commander James took one final, despairing look at the array, then turned his back on it, following his men across the array hall. Suddenly there was a distinct change in tone in the roar of the array. A deep, low, tortured boom split the air.
"Run!"
screamed a soldier, and the group charged madly across the hall, Susan dragged bodily behind. "No," whispered James to himself. He stopped and turned, looking back towards the accelerator array. He started walking back towards it, then broke into a run. They could all hear it now. The generators were slowing down to an idle, the level of the chaos dying away. Susan tried to struggle free from the grip of the soldiers, but they held her firm, looking back at the array in amazement. "Get her to the infirmary," snapped a soldier, and she was dragged protesting from the hall. Just as she disappeared through the exit, she caught a glimpse of Commander James struggling with the door of the chamber. There was a venting of steam and gases as it opened, to reveal a suited figure standing in the doorway. But to Susan's frustration, she couldn't make out who it was.
"Let me go!"
The small man struggled between two burly security guards, encumbered by his corroded and battered environment suit.
I need to talk to somebody in charge. Let me go! No!"
"Get him out of here," shouted Commander James. "Put him with the others."
"Grace, God, I can't believe it. What happened out there? Come, sit down, let the medics look at you. Are you hurt?"
He helped Grace to a bench as people bustled all around them. The security guards disappeared off with the prisoner, who still shouted and protested. They could hear him cursing long after he had disappeared off towards their improvised detention centre.
"That's the first time we've got a word out of him," said Grace, pulling off her helmet with a grim smile and nodding after the prisoner. "Now he won't shut up."
She flung the helmet across the room in disgust and gasped in the hot air of the chamber. Her hair was plastered over her pale face and her cheeks were stained with tears. A paramedic bustled around her, hastily checking over her numerous scratches and bruises.
"Any sign of the others?"
Grace managed to gasp at last, looking over at Thomas Sullivan, who sat beside her in a state of shock. Medics worked hurriedly to remove his suit, but he appeared numb and unresponsive.
"I'm going to throw up,"
he croaked, leaning forwards and vomiting onto the floor. Grace looked at him anxiously, and then back to James.
"Well?"
she panted again, an expression of hysteria on her face. James lowered his eyes and shook his head sadly.
"You're the only ones to return," he whispered grimly. "We sent a search team in when you were overdue, but we haven't heard from them since. What happened, Grace?"
"I don't know, Colin," she sighed.
"There were soldiers at the base camp, but they were all dead, except for the one we brought with us. But we need to get our team back. You have to send somebody to rescue them. You must."
Her eyes gazed around the chamber frantically.
"Do you think you can walk?" asked a medic.
Grace's eyes seemed to take a while to focus on her, but then she sighed and nodded. Thomas was already being stretchered out of the chamber, and outside Grace could see a group of soldiers preparing to enter. James helped her walk shakily out into the huge array hall.
"Let me wait here," she said when they reached the far wall.
She slumped down onto a pile of boxes, her head in her hands.
"Get Dr. Palmer some clothes and a blanket," said James to one of the medics. "And a cigarette,"
she called feebly after him. The wait between the first group returning and the second one was the worst time for Grace. She had helped Starling and Nix from the steaming chamber as they stumbled out into the light, Nix supporting the weight of an injured soldier in the sample claws. Seven more battered troops filed out with them, five of them from the original squad that had set out with the expedition. Every one of them bore signs of battle, scorch marks, dents in helmets or bloody faces. One soldier had a huge crack down the centre of his visor. The glass had held out just long enough for him to get home.
From Starling and Nix, Grace had heard how they had been harried all the way back from the ruined buildings to the base camp, forever having to turn and fight as enemy troops appeared out of nowhere all around them, or aircraft shot at them from overhead. She heard how Adams had fallen as he tried to defend their retreat, shot in the back before he had a chance to see his assailant appear. If it hadn't been for a sandstorm blowing up from nowhere, then none of them would have escaped. They hid in the dust and the aircraft were forced to withdraw. Then friendly troops in the form of the search team sent from Maundsworth had arrived, and they had fought desperately back to the base camp, frantically counting the minutes until the doorway opened again. Even a grim-faced Gary Starling carried a gun in his hands. Half the team had made it back, but there wasn't enough room in the chamber for everyone. So Grace and James and all the others waited anxiously until the array was ready once more, hoping against hope that the remaining survivors could hold out against the enemy troops. Meanwhile, Grace tried to digest the news of Jane's treachery. After an age, a klaxon sounded, and a security team ran forward, cautiously opening up the door of the chamber. Four soldiers staggered out, carrying a wounded man, and then last of all limped out a large, recognisable figure, carrying another casualty.
"Jonah!" cried Grace in disbelief.
Commander James tried to restrain her, but she pulled away from his grasp and stumbled off to meet the big man.
"Dr. Palmer?"
came a muffled voice of surprise, as the medics took the injured man from his arms. He painfully removed his helmet and breathed deeply.
"I'd lost all hope,"
whispered Sanders as Grace hugged him with joy. Blood streamed from a large cut above one eye, and his suit was battered and dented.
"I searched for you,"
he said quietly, looking around as the trail of casualties were led out of the hall.
"And Thomas?"
he asked hesitantly.
"He's fine,"
Grace laughed.
"He's fine."
You have been listening to The Heaven Field. For more information, downloads, and artwork, visit theheavenfield.com.